Doesn't get any easier from here, Derek.
Shit.
Nope. Doesn't get any easier. Well, except for our interviews, which are like 30 minutes of us talking to really, really good hockey people tonight.
Yeah, Shane Willis. It's like he knows the sport.
Yeah. And it's like Minnesota might be, I don't know, the state of hockey or something.
Or so they would have us believe.
Also the land of 10,000 lakes.
Do they have a good butter?
No, that's Ireland.
See, I was thinking Land O'Lakes and thinking butter, and now I want some toast.
Toast. Hey, guys. Welcome to this. I believe it's going to be a Thursday by the time it's published edition of the Cheaters Never Win podcast, a game day edition.
Ooh.
The prodigal son has returned.
Stop it.
Your beloved former captain, one Mr. Eric Staal, will be taking the ice tonight for the Minnesota Wild, taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. We all know how that's going to end. We're not going to bury the lead, but just listen to the interview that we do with Tony from Hockey Wilderness a little bit later, and you'll know pretty much what we think.
I'm genuinely curious at this point, and I know that I may be a bit jaded or maybe...
You jaded?
I know. Never. Or maybe perceived as an Eric Staal hater, but I'd be very curious if we were to put up a very, very scientific Twitter poll and say, what is your opinion on the Eric Staal return to Raleigh story train? Are you A, enthusiastic, glad to see Eric Staal's back, you care about this, versus B, just stop, let's just play the damn game? I'd be really curious to see how that breaks down among Hurricanes fans, because I know there's some in both camps, but I don't know what the breakdown is.
That's a good point. You know, if only there were a way to do a scientific Twitter poll without the trolls.
Well, there's not a way to do a scientific Twitter poll. I can guarantee you that.
Stephen Hawking could probably do one.
Nah.
He's scientific.
Nah.
Okay. All right. We'll agree to disagree there. We have games to talk about, Derek. We have a couple Islanders games to talk about.
Ooh, one of them was a lot of fun.
One of them was a game. We have a Toronto game we could talk about. We have every other day hockey, it seems like, for the next 10 days or so. So you got lots of ASCII responses, I think, to the start of this podcast.
Either that or a lot of like early 90s sitcom sound effect. I've got just the old soundboard over here of like David Schwimmer sleep noises.
I was getting ready to go, come and knock on our door.
Jesus.
We've been waiting for you. Where the kisses are his and yours. Three's Company.
Yeah,
two.
I know.
I'm just gonna keep going on with it because you know
I was enjoying the show. You had a little dance going too.
There you go.
It was fantastic.
I may still have a crush on Joyce DeWitt. That's probably things people on these airwaves didn't need to know.
But they do.
And now they do. And knowing's half the battle. Great interviews tonight. How's the beer tonight, Derek?
Oh, you'd hate it.
Oh, that means I guess some of our listeners will like it. And we've got your cheat mail. So much like any game Eric Staal's played for us, I think we're just going to lollygag here into the intro, and then, you know, we'll eventually see what happens.
Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
Yes, thank you guys for joining us for this week's edition of the Cheaters Never Win podcast, brought to you by us, Section 328.
And brought to you kind of indirectly by Amazon. They're not necessarily a sponsor, but... hey, Mike, quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
You buy things on Amazon?
On the regulars.
Because you're a person. If you are planning on buying something on Amazon, we would just like to make one small request. Head on over to section328.com first. Click on the big Buy on Amazon button. It takes you to Amazon.com. And they throw a few coins into the old 328 account so we can take care of our people. There's no extra charge to you. It's just one extra click. And you help stick it to the man.
And you also... if we can continue on this nice little run we've been on this season, we are doing our best to corral up most of the Section 328 staff. We're going to head up to Chicago that last weekend in June and get to witness yet another brilliant draft by none other than GM Ron Francis.
Oh, and his beautiful head of hair.
It's a good head of hair. Derek, you know, we could sit here and we could talk about the Islanders game. We could talk about the Toronto game. Or we could go talk with someone who knows a lot more about hockey than you and I. And folks, we have welcoming back onto the Cheaters Never Win podcast. We like to refer to him as at Twitterless Shane. You may know him better as one of the two pregame hosts on the Fox Sports Carolina's pregame show for your Carolina Hurricanes. Shane Willis joins us here on the Cheaters Never Win podcast. Welcome back, Shane.
Thanks, gentlemen. Is it because I don't have a Twitter handle that it took so long to get me back on this show? I tweet at you more?
If we actually considered setting up at Twitterless Shane and trying to goad you into it, but I don't even know if they have Twitter in Garner, do they?
No, I don't think it slides out this far. I mean, yeah. Things cut off after you get off of 40, head to down 70. Things cut off when you get around that area.
Yeah, that's kind of what we figured. But so, Shane, the teams had a bit of an up and down run. This has been one of those runs where you look back a month or so ago, and this was the run we were all really hoping for because there was a lot of points we could have amassed up before we go into what is this, you know, kind of the gauntlet of death in March. And for a team that is, you know, not mathematically out of it, but for all intents and purposes is playing for next season, how do you as a hockey player kind of keep up your motivation to get through such a tough stretch of so many games and so few nights?
Well, I think that's what's kind of impressed me most about this group right now is that, the stretch they started on this six-game stint here with the five at home, unfortunately last night with that loss, but I think you always look at a young team, how they're going to react in this stretch, and I think mentally they've done very well. They haven't had any, full 60-minute lapses. I think they've shown glimpses of that lapse in there that may have cost them a point here or there. But overall, the thing that's impressed me the most is that mental side of things from a young group. The leaders have seemed to step up to push the group. The coaches have had them prepared, and I think, as you said, as this gauntlet has started, they started out really well, and unfortunately one of the things that has kind of caught up with them a little bit in this stretch, I think, is that injury bug, to a Phil DiGiuseppe, a Brock McGinn, two guys that, have energized his lineups and playing here this year, and I think the teams that get through this gauntlet without facing those injuries, I think are the teams that are going to really do well through the month of March.
Yeah, keeping on the positive things and, guys who haven't been plagued by the injury bug, and God, I hope I'm not jinxing them right now.
You better not.
I hope I'm not. Rod Brindamore was on local media radio today, and he had just nothing but praise to say for Sebastian Aho. Would love to get your thoughts on Aho's game. And one other interesting thing that Rod had to say was he seems pretty sure of who he thinks the next captain on this team will be, but didn't tip his hat beyond he's got it pretty well set. Any thoughts on future captaincy as well?
Wow. Do I tip my hat on that question? Let's start with Sebastian Aho, the easy one first, because he's just that elite player that the Hurricanes hoped they'd find when they selected him in that second round. I talked the other night on the show, when you really look at it, what a steal to find in the second round for how good of a player he is, how quickly he's matured and developed in this league, to already, see him on the bench drawing up plays that are working. He's the 19-year-old quarterback on a number one unit on an NHL team. I mean, you don't say that too often besides the elite, top three picks in Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, and Patrick Laine. And Sebastian Aho, I think, can be talked about in that category and will be talked about when it comes down to the Calder Trophy this year for Rookie of the Year. I think there's probably five guys' names that are going to be in that, and he's going to be one of them. I think we talked last night, the ceiling, I see him keeping the development going and finishing I would say in the high 40s in points this year with 20 some odd goals, 20 some odd assists, and progressing from year to year. I think he'd push that to the very late 20s in goals. Next year, maybe getting 30, but definitely the year after that, I see him getting 30 goals. And then eventually I see a guy like Sebastian Aho getting the 40-40 seasons and really leading this Hurricanes offense into the future.
Now, sorry, Shane, excuse me while I take off my pants. 40-40 season.
You got excited. I love it. Stop it. You like that, right?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, I really do. I think this guy, he has the scoring touch. He has the drive and his elite playmaking ability and playing with the right guys. I mean, that's the other thing. He's played with so many different mixes of line mates on this team, and he's produced. Sure, he's had those lapses, but the kid's 19. I mean, the elite players have games of lapses where they have it, but Sebastian's just done a great job night in and night out, showing the effort and producing in this lineup. Now, if we go to the next question, which is dicey, you couldn't get Rod to tip his hat and say who the next captain was. My eyes have been on a guy now for a while. I've said it a few times in the office, and, you know, to not say too much, I think the maturity and the way the guy carries himself, he's not coming in as the superstar that everyone thought he was going to be, but he's just developed and he's anchoring right now on the backside. He scores a hat trick there tonight playing defense. And I think the guy may be Jacob Slavin. I think the way he carries himself, and another way I look at this is you look at the past captains of the Carolina Hurricanes, Ron Francis, Rod Brind'Amour, how they led this team, the way they carried themselves. And I think when you're looking at a captain and the one is now your general manager and the other one's assistant coach, I think that kind of factors into who that next guy in line may be, and they're looking for a guy to step up. And right now that guy's making huge steps towards getting named in that category.
So are you saying the second C might stand for captain?
You never know.
Never know.
I think, you know me. I sit on the Fox Sports desk, and I love to play armchair guy as much as anybody. But when you look around the room of guys that are moving there, other guys have made steps that way too. So I think at the start of the season, they're looking for a guy. And I think now when they start dialing in, I think there's more than just one name they can put out there. But to me, Jacob Slavin would be one of the guys at the top of my list anyway.
Now, I think we would have a difficult time disagreeing with you there. We love the young man's demeanor, the maturity that he has on and off the ice. And speaking of maturity, which is not something we may have majored in college or high school, and I get the feeling that sometimes I've heard rumor that maybe maturity isn't something that actually gets, you know, kind of majored in a locker room either. So if you're Calvin DeHaan and all 5'11", 175 pounds of 19-year-old Sebastian Aho's backside just completely destroys you as you're trying to lay him out into a corner, can you give us just the level of heat that veteran had to take when he went back into the bench and back to the locker room?
I think when he got back to the bench, there might have probably, I would say at least one chirp from his own teammates, but definitely more since they won the hockey game, the room would have been a little bit lighter. There would have been some serious shots thrown in that locker room asking him how the 19-year-old youngster took him out. And maybe they might even have drawn it up on the whiteboard of, here's DeHaan. He's got them all lined up, and down goes DeHaan into the corner. But it was an interesting feat because there's no way that he thought Sebastian was going to be ready number one or at least had that kind of leverage to take him out like he did. But definitely, I wouldn't say immature comments, but they would have been right on the line. They would have had to go to the offside review to see if the calls were offside made in the locker room.
Oh, geez. That's what we all love about Hurricanes hockey is constant offside reviews. You know, Mike asked you earlier about how it is to keep focus for, you know, games that don't seem to have as much relevance as you may have hoped, as particularly in the waning days of a season. Putting your analyst hat back on, what do you think this team needs to do this offseason so we can make sure the games in late March really matter and, you know, help the fans buy into after what looks like yet another year of not making the playoffs, how we can get our hopes up, but like realistically have our hopes up?
Well, I think you look at, and again, some of these things we'd love to just have aren't easy to find, like a guy who can score 30 goals at as easy as he can make it look. I'd like to see us put on a little size up front. I think you talked about that situation last night, where DeHaan's got them all lined up. And if it turns the other way, I'd like to see us, you know, have a little retribution of guys saying, you know, this isn't going to happen, especially when you're here at the PNC Arena with some of our young, talented guys. So I'd like to see us maybe get a little bit bigger if we could do that. And then, you know, I think there's always a piece to add on the sense of the veteran leadership. I think the leadership is going to go to these young guys because they've earned it and they're taking steps that way. But having another guy in that room, like a Jordan Staal, who has the experience and, you know, has maybe had a deep run in the playoffs, whether he be going towards the end of his career or right in the middle of it and looking for a new home and a new start, I think that's a big part to helping a team gel and come together even more than this team has in the progress they've made this year. So a 30-goal guy, a little bit of meat up front with some character, and then maybe another leader, in my mind, would be a great fit.
So breaking news, folks, Ron Francis will not show his hand. Shane Willis announcing the Hurricanes are going after Steve Ott in the offseason.
Oh, Jesus.
Tim Gleason, not real happy with that choice.
Hey, I'm tipping my hand, but the name that flew out of my hand was not Steve Ott.
All right, and Shane, last question from this mic. As a former player who had the opportunity to play for a couple of different clubs, our Carolina Hurricanes included, you know what it's like to kind of have that revenge game going back, and it seems like for years, as the Hurricanes have jettisoned off players around the National Hockey League, they have made a career out of coming back to the Carolina Hurricanes and basically making us pay mightily, and we have a former captain coming back in. The last time he was here was with the Rangers, and it was a bit of a love fest. We all wanted to say thank you, Eric, for everything that you've done, but now he's coming back in wearing the green of the Minnesota Wild, having a pretty good season on a team that is definitely playoff bound. What's it going to be like for Eric Staal as he strolls into the PNC Arena this week, and what should we expect to see from Eric as he, you know, we're guessing 2 goals, one assist, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be definitely a different mindset for Eric and the guys on our side. I think coming back in last year, it was that feeling. That's a tough situation for everyone involved, the friendships that were made, and for the amount of time and the play he did here for the Carolina Hurricanes, the respect that was shown. But this year, I think the Minnesota Wild are hungry to make a run in the playoffs. I think Eric Staal has played this season as a hungry veteran guy wanting to reestablish himself, and he's had a great season so far. So I think his mindset is coming in. They had a tough loss last night. So obviously his focus is right now is going to only be on his team and coming in here and getting a big win. So expect him to be really fired up in a motivational way to win a hockey game for the Minnesota Wild. I think the Hurricanes have to be ready that this one isn't going to be the bumping into each other, making saves, smiling kind of game as it was last year, that this one's going to be a hard fought with a team in the Minnesota Wild that are looking to make a statement and try and get back into first place. As you mentioned earlier, they passed by Chicago last night with a big win in Montreal, but this team is fighting to try and finish first in the Central, lock up that home ice division. So Eric's going to have a little bit more of a chip on his shoulder, I think, tomorrow, as you said, and it's going to be game on, and the Hurricanes need to be ready from the drop of the puck, as we talk about all the time in the first period.
We're definitely looking forward to it. I'm sure we'll have nothing but bad things to yell at him from the nosebleeds up there in section 328. But Shane, we always have nice things to say about you, sir. A beautiful coif of hair.
I appreciate that, guys.
A beautiful coif of hair, and he basically carries Mike Maniscalco on a nightly basis.
Oh no, we can't say that, Mike.
Yeah, we can.
The best
we can.
Guy
we just
I've
did.
Ever had.
Mike's the only guy you've ever had there, right? Because you had Michelle, not yeah. Guy, and then there was somebody
it.
Else. Yeah, I mean, there we go, folks. That's Shane Willis. You love him. We know him, and he's awesome. And Shane, we
big game tomorrow night.
Hey, and plenty of good seats still available. Shane, tomorrow night is also St. Baldrick's night at the PNC Arena. I believe you're going to be interviewing Tony Price, who is one of our favorite cancer fighters and one of the guys who's leading up the St. Baldrick's charge tomorrow night. Any truth to the rumor that you're going to be shaving your beautiful do?
There's zero truth to that. I'm not sure who told you that.
No.
I always thought about if I could start a fund, because it's such a great cause, being able to talk to Tony and talk with him about his fight and things like that, and how much he's always led the charge on this night for St. Baldrick's to pile up an account to see really what we could put together for, not me, I want to get somebody who's got nicer hair than me to shave their head for a great cause. But I think we should maybe get that going one year, but I don't know if I could put myself out there. I'm a little afraid. I haven't shaved my head since I was like 12.
Shane, there's only one head of hair in the Carolina Hurricanes organization we're all going to pay for, and I believe you and I know who it is, and I don't even want to say his name for fear that his hair may come and get retribution upon me.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow night. It'll be great to talk to Tony anyway.
Excellent. Shane, good to talk to you, sir. Have a great time. You can catch out Shane on Twitter. He is not, but he is always on Fox Sports Carolinas. You can tweet them at Canes on FSCR, and they'll make sure Shane gets the message. Shane, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Looking forward to seeing Shane tonight at the PNC Arena. I think we all know who Shane was referring to there when he said there might be somebody in the organization who could raise a few dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I may have just mentioned him before the interview.
Right. And I don't want to... I believe there are hair gods, and I believe our general manager is on that Mount Rushmore of hair.
Okay. This is a really... Mount Rushmores, if anything, are usually a stupid bit, but let's do this, Mike.
Okay, let's do this.
Let's do this. Mount Rushmore of Hurricanes hair, because when you started talking Hurricanes hair, Ron Francis wasn't the first place I went. It was Elias Lindholm, because that man has a beautiful head of hair, you know, as a Swede is typically wont to do.
Well, we need to see what's the longevity. You know, Ron's sure. hair has held up... under a helmet for many years, but he is also, it has held up quite well through a long bout of Just for Men.
Yeah. Safe to assume Bill Peters, not on the Mount Rushmore of hair.
No. Great haircut? I don't know if it's great hair, though.
No, it's not even a good haircut.
I believe another man you have to put on that Mount Rushmore head of hair for the Hurricanes has got to be Bates Battaglia, right?
Oh, see, I was thinking just current Hurricanes.
Oh, no. I mean, if we're going Mount Rushmore, you know.
True. We got to go historic.
That gives us, you know, I don't want to go political, but we're not putting Trump or Spicer on the current Mount Rushmore. So.
Well, no. No, we're not. Okay, and we're not counting facial hair then, because like Nick Wallin's.
Yeah, no. We're going heads of hair.
Heads of hair. Yeah, Bates had a good head of hair on him. Sandis Ozilage had the most Mike Ricci-like hair.
Yeah, no, that's not getting him on.
Ron Francis. Trust me, nothing about Mike Ricci's appearance is ever a compliment.
Ron Francis, Elias Lindholm, Bates Battaglia, and
Commodore.
Yeah.
I mean, for iconic. Not necessarily a great head of hair, but an iconic head of hair.
So let's put that out there. You know, things are kind of tough in Caniac land right now. Maybe this is something we can have a little bit of fun with. Let's use hashtag... what's there? We got to come up with a good hashtag for this, Derek.
Yeah, we should have workshopped this before the podcast.
Probably should have. Let's just call it hashtag Mount Rushmore hair. And, you know... Send us out there on the Twitters at @section_328. And who would be your four players, current or former?
Or how about this? Hashtag Hurricanes.
Oh, see that's better.
There you
that's
go.
Good. Hurricanes.
Hashtag Hurricanes.
HAIRICANES. Something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Hashtag Hurricanes. And you know, we'll pump this bit for everything we can get out of it, which is going to be probably...
So thank you in advance to the two people that reply.
Right. You know, they're probably going to be the same people who RKO'd their morning. That, for those of you who got that reference...
Hi, JC.
Hi, Tom. So, again, thanks Shane for coming on. We're having a lot of fun here tonight. Derek, let's take a second and talk about why we can't play the Islanders every single game for 82 games.
Scheduling would dictate that you have to play each conference opponent between 4 and 5 times a season and each opponent in the opposing conference twice a season. So based on that, those criteria, we cannot play the Islanders 82 times a year.
That makes me sad because our scoring prowess would be, you know, Wayne Gretzky would bow to our team.
So the Canes are averaging, I think, what, 2.4, let's just say 2.5 goals a game.
Right at it.
On the season. Four games against the Islanders, we have 23 goals. It's about six.
That's acceptable.
That is good. I don't really want to talk too much about last night's game because
it was somewhat boring. And it was somewhat to be expected. After the whooping that we put on the Isles in... Are they in New Jersey now? Are they in Brooklyn now? Are they in Hartford? Where are they?
I think after the pure sex that was Monday's offensive outburst, last night was just cuddling.
There's nothing wrong with cuddling.
There's nothing wrong with cuddling, but, you know, it's not the exciting part.
You're right.
Monday's explosion was the exciting part.
Oh, gosh. Hashtag defensive.
We're
going to leave that one alone.
So... I don't know how much of the game you got to watch because we don't watch every Canes game together. We're seeing enough of each other this week. But, you know, when it started out and we're giving up a couple goals and it's back and forth, you're going, well, here we go. This is going to be a ride. And then it's like, what the what? The Canes just pile up five consecutive goals and half of them are coming from the defense and Slavin gets a hat trick. Jeff Skinner leaves Tomas Greiss naked as the day he was born. It's just like, what the hell is this offensive hockey and why can't we do this more often?
I think it has a lot to do with, you know, the Islanders have been so hot and cold when it comes to their goaltending situation. They've played a lot of hockey. I believe they were coming off of a nice little string of games where we were catching them. And I don't know, Jacob Slavin obviously took his, you know, Hulkamania vitamins, you know, and said his prayers that night.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he hulked up.
It was really, really cool to see. And I didn't realize that it had been 9 years since a Hurricanes defenseman had a hat trick.
I'm sitting here in my head taking this wrestling thing to the next level, I'm like, does that make Josh Hosang the Iron Sheik?
Oh, no. I look forward to Josh Hosang's Twitter account in 40 years then.
Let's talk a little bit about Josh Hosang. It's a player that I think both you and I have actively come out and supported because it does seem like he has gotten a bit of a raw deal from what we'll call Canadian hockey traditionalist.
Completely agree. He's a flashy player. I mean, a lot of young guys are excited to play the game, and I hate when excitement gets beaten out of players because it's a game. Like, yeah, there's a difference between taunting someone, like, in their face aggressively and celebrating and having a lot of fun with what you do. Like, Patrick Laine, he's a great example of what I think a fun hockey player can look like. The one time I was okay with the Josh Hosang criticism, and I haven't followed his career to the letter, was when they sent him back to junior before training camp, I believe it was last season, because he overslept and didn't make it to practice. That is you are not in the mindset of being a professional.
Correct. And yeah, I can't disagree with that one bit, but, you know, excited and slightly scared for what a guy of Josh Hosang's ilk could grow into with that New York Islanders team. It's sad that John Tavares is going to leave him for Raleigh next season.
Well, I wouldn't call it sad, but Mike, I think you and I see this the same way, and I hate to bring up the stupid number thing, but can you remember a time with any other player where a player wearing someone else's number, particularly a player they looked up to, was viewed as, how dare you disrespect this number? Is it Pittsburgh fans doing something, or is it Canadian media not liking Josh Hosang for whatever reason it is? Because you see how many goalies wear number 30 because they looked up to Martin Brodeur. You see other players wear 27 because they liked Jeremy Roenick or whoever it was. You see guys wearing 11 because they liked Messier. You see it all the damn time. I don't see why this one is an issue just because other people haven't worn 66 that damn often.
Who was 66 again?
Claude Lemieux?
I think so.
It's stupid.
It is, and it's ridiculous. And I just look at that Islanders team, and they should be better than they are. I think Doug Weight has done phenomenal things for that franchise. Mm-hmm. They are back in the midst of a playoff run, which I think, you know, made the two games against us that much more shocking, considering how well they had been playing. But they, you know, they played back-to-back nights and got 2 out of 4 points. And I guess for somebody who is fighting for a wild card position, you know, they would want to get 3 or 4 points against a team below them in the standings,
mm-hmm.
but they're still right there.
Yeah, I think as it stands right now, they are still in the second wild card spot.
So good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Bully to them.
I like John Tavares. I wish him nothing but happiness when he moves to Raleigh.
Do you really think that's going to happen?
You know, if you say it's kind of like Beetlejuice. You say it enough, it eventually happens.
All right.
Of course, we also have acquire Matt Duchene up over there on the whiteboard still, and that hasn't happened.
No.
We also have hashtag shut up Tom up on the whiteboard. Also, still hasn't happened.
No.
Lots of games coming up this week, Derek.
Yeah, we got one tonight that we've talked about. We've got Smashville comes to town on Saturday.
Oh, the Purnell Carl train coming to Raleigh.
I'm so excited to see Subban. And then we hit the road for 4 games, but, you know, the Wild are in town tonight, so we should probably talk to somebody who knows that team.
You're right. And folks, welcome to the podcast. First-time caller and first-time listener, he joins us from the Hockey Wilderness Podcast, part of the SB Nation Podcast Network, as well as he is one of the head guys over at Hockey Wilderness, which is the SB Nation blog for the Minnesota Wild, Tony Abbott. Tony, welcome to Cheaters Never Win. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing really well. How are you guys?
Man, we are excellent. The prodigal son returns to Raleigh. Eric Staal comes to town. I don't know if you know this about the Hurricanes, but former Hurricanes who move on to, let's call them greener pastures.
Get out.
Move on to greener pastures. Come back in and often score, you know, just massive amounts of goals and assists from us. For those of us who have been following Eastern Conference hockey for a while and trying to avoid actually having to see Eric Staal perform well, what's going on in Eric Staal's game? And if you had to place a prediction on what he's going to do against the Hurricanes, what would that prediction be?
Oh, probably like 12 goals. I mean, he's facing Cam Ward, right? So that's ooh, how it works. Ooh. Oh, I'm firing up. I don't know how he's going to do. Like, I don't do like individual game predictions or anything like that, but he's had a really strong season overall. He's played up the middle for the Minnesota Wild, other than, you know, unlike he did in New York where he was a third line winger, which I don't know why they thought that was going to work, but Staal's really solidified things down the middle. He's been a really good goal scorer this season. I wasn't really expecting to see. I mean, he's got like 23 goals this season, and I wasn't really expecting to see him rebound.
Wait, Eric Staal has 23 goals, and it's not April yet.
It's 22, and yeah, it's not April yet. Like he's going to.
Avoid our incredulousness and bitterness. Sorry.
It's okay. I don't know what was going on with his game in Carolina, but it seemed to whatever was, you know, lowering those numbers last season, seems to be all gone in Bruce Boudreau's system. He's got him playing, maybe not vintage Eric Staal, but he's got him playing at a pretty high level.
Yeah, I've kept track of his season because I was really curious when he signed with you guys on a pretty, you know, reasonable contract. You know, I think it's, what, 3 years at 3.5 per, so it's not going to sink you if he didn't perform. And the way he's playing this year, you've gotten quite a bargain out of him. But it looks like he has still been a little streaky at times, particularly in the later half of the season. I saw he went like 13 games without a goal. Has he held up well over the stretch? I know there are a lot of Canes fans who still like to follow his career and would love to know how he's been lately, even though he is going to destroy us tomorrow night and will certainly get an empty net goal because that's what he do.
Yeah, I think his 13-game goal stretch was kind of goalless stretch was a little overblown. I don't think he was playing poorly. It was just stuff wasn't going in and he was getting a bunch of different line mates. They were just kind of throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall and seeing what stuck. And I, you know, maybe that didn't do super great things for his game, but he's certainly come back in the last couple of weeks or so and seems just fine to me.
Well, a little bit earlier, you took a pock shot at Cam Ward.
You weren't wrong, though.
You absolutely weren't wrong, and we would encourage all of the Minnesota Wild, should they want to break career scoring records, to shoot high glove. But tell us, weave a tale for us. What's it like to have good goaltending? And why is it so important to have goaltenders that are ginormous? I believe both of the goaltenders in Minnesota are currently 6'5" or larger. What has been the key to, I mean, really a just amazing goaltending season in Minnesota? Is it Dubnyk, or is it just the fact that you've got Suter and crew in front of them?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. Minnesota's done a really great job. And when you look at the visuals of this, like when you see how few shots they allow in the crease, it's absolutely absurd. They do a really good job of keeping Dubnyk's crease really clean. They've been allowing a lot of shots out from the point and stuff. So that has helped. But at the same time, you got to make those saves. And Dubnyk's been making the saves that they're asking him to make for the most part. It's been a bit of a struggle the last 10 games or so. But, you know, Minnesota definitely is helping out Dubnyk by giving him lower quality chances to make saves against. But at the same time, like I said, you got to make them. And when it comes to being 6'6", I mean, yeah, that's got to help, right? You cover so much of that net. And you see him off the ice, and he doesn't look that big or anything. Like, and I know the pads, you know, they're not conforming to a lanky goaltender, I guess I'd say. But, you know, he's just this big, lanky guy, but he manages to cover up so much space in the net that it's pretty insane. Like, you've been able to see him make some really good saves just because he's so big, like, covers up so much room. But at the same time, you got to make those saves, right? Darcy Kemper is actually an example of, you know, you can't teach 6'5", but you also have to still make saves. Kemper is not good, despite being 6'5". So it's not totally perfect, right? I don't know how big Cam Ward is or Eddie Lack is, but, you know, I think small goaltenders are maybe getting, like, a little bit worse of a rap than they should be, too. Like, I think just chasing after size isn't the best idea.
Well, if you're going to defend Cam Ward, you have a future in local Carolina Hurricanes media, I tell you what, Tony.
So another forward that the Wild have, because Mike brought up Ryan Suter, and you can't talk about Ryan Suter without talking about Zach Parise, because they both signed, I think, 36-year deals a few summers ago. And I just looked it up on the interwebs, and I saw Zach Parise is sitting... Is it Parise?
It's been both. Right now it's Parise.
Parise. Okay, so Zach Parise is sitting on a cool 31 points. How's that looking? And is there any... I mean, obviously you're in second place in the conference right now, just as of today. So it's not going to be, you know, too tenuous of a situation. But is there any thoughts and hand-wringing of like, how are we going to look in like 4 years with a 36-year-old Zach Parise, you know, lumbering around out there? Is that going to be a worry for the long-term future of the Wild?
No, it's not, just because this is the time that they're going to compete. I think Parise's gotten a bit of a bit of bad luck this season. He's had some injuries, which have kind of kept that point total down. He's played only 55 games this season. And even though his save percentage is just a hair beneath 10, I still think that there are, you know, some goals that he left on the table that maybe shouldn't have happened. So this season hasn't been like a great season for Parise, but I think it's maybe a little better than the counting numbers have shown. As for 4 years from now, like I could... You know, ask me in 4 years, right? If the Wild get bounced in the first round this year, and then don't make a deep playoff run in 4 years, I'll probably think a lot differently of Parise's time in Minnesota. But as of right now, like, I am so far from being concerned with 4 years from now. I just want to see them do. I think this might be their best shot get a cup.
Yeah, hell, and if you do win a cup, who cares? I mean, honestly, I subscribe to the theory of if you win a championship, you are not allowed to bitch for the next 5 seasons.
Yeah, that's a good rule.
And, you know, I think this is just another case of Eric Staal bringing another premier player's point total down. Just saying. So we talked a little bit before we went on the air there, Tony, about the playoffs. And is this going to be the season that Bruce Boudreau finally shakes the ghost of playoff past? As we sit here and we look at the playoffs, if the playoffs were to start today, you would face Section 328's pick to not only win the Western Conference, but to win the Stanley Cup playoffs in the Nashville Predators. The St. Louis Blues are on a tremendous run, having won 5 straight. If you're kind of projecting out and we look ahead 14 games into the season when the Western Conference playoffs start, do you want to face the Preds? Do you want to face the Blues? Or are you hoping to overtake the Chicago Blackhawks once again and to be able to face potentially the Edmonton Oilers as that eighth seed? I guess you would still face the Blues.
Yeah, I am definitely someone who thinks that it would be much better to face the Blues than to face the Predators in round one. If nothing else, you just have either Nashville or Chicago knock the other one out and meet one of those guys in round two rather than having to go Nashville round one, Chicago round two. That sounds like a really tough path to the cup for me, especially when you have to go through probably San Jose in the conference final and Washington or Pittsburgh in the Stanley Cup. Oh, I'm sorry, Carolina maybe in the Stanley Cup.
No, stop it. Stop it.
You're kind, but no.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get lit up by your fans.
You know, oh no, we know we're awful right now. Thank you for noticing, though.
All right, so I think just getting one round where, you know, I don't think St. Louis would be a cakewalk. Like, Vladimir Tarasenko is, I don't know if you guys know this, but he's good.
Good at the hockeys.
He's particularly at hockey. He's good, but, like, specifically I'm talking about his hockey ability. Like, he's good there. So, you know, that's not like an auto win, but it's a lot better than Nashville, which I agree with you guys. Like, they're really scary, especially when they especially if they go into the playoffs. Maybe if they lost game one in round one, Pekka Rinne gives up 5 and they're just like, okay, UC Saros, who's been extremely good this year, this is your net. You do what you will. And then all of a sudden you got a Matt Murray situation on your hands. I'm not super keen on running into that in round one.
No, I can't imagine you would be. However, you do have the coaching prowess of Bruce Boudreau, who, while not being the best at handling his neckwear, is certainly doing a damn fine job behind the bench. Your thoughts on the season under Bruce?
Oh, it's been incredible. He's done so many wonders for this team. I don't even know exactly what it is in some cases. Like, it just kind of seems like this has been sort of a magical season up to, like, the last, like, I don't know, 5 games or so. But I mean, like, 5 games of a rough stretch, like, that's small potatoes compared to what Minnesota had, like, on a yearly basis before that. But yeah, he, you know what it seemed like he's done? It seems like he's done this thing where, you know, coaches before Bruce would be like, okay, well, I've got a system and you're going to do what I want you to do. In Mike Yeo's case, it was just like, you're going to defense all the time. I don't care if you're Jason Zucker, where you're a fast sniper guy who should be let run free like the beautiful animal you are. No, you have to play a two-way game. And if you don't, you're going to have your minutes reduced. You're going to be benched. That's not the case with Boudreau. He's like, hey, Jason Zucker, you're a beautiful animal. Just run free. Do what you do. And he's responded with an overall improvement in his game. You know, defensively, in terms of his playmaking, he's done really well. Same thing with Mikael Granlund. It's like, oh, okay, guess what? You're no longer going to be expected to be Mikko Koivu, where you have to be a defensive two-way center. No, just do what you do. Be a playmaker. We got Mikko Koivu alongside you. He's going to handle the defense. Just get the puck to Jason Zucker. And he's responded really well, too. So you're seeing a lot of those stories on the Minnesota Wild. And it's been really refreshing and surprising, too, because, you know, I had sort of given up on Mikael Granlund, for instance, ever realizing his potential. And I'm extremely happy to be proven wrong on that.
Well, Tony, we're greatly and super appreciative of having you on this here Cheaters Never Win podcast. So just one last question, and I think we'd be remiss if we did not tap into this deep, deep bit of knowledge that you are probably the only guest who has ever been or will ever be on this podcast. If Nino Niederreiter were a Pokemon, which one would he be and why?
Oh, you know what? I wrote an article about this like 2 years ago. Hold on. I got to look this up now. Minnesota Wild Pokemon. I don't know if you guys edit. You might want to edit this part out. But yeah, I'm a huge Pokemon fan. And thanks for noticing.
Hey, we try to do our background on our first-time friends and guests. Not that we're ever trying to get on your podcast, because, you know, that would have been a nice invite to have this week. But, you know, we're just spitballing
and
here.
And you probably do have a microwave.
I'm not a very considerate person. That's my problem. Okay, here's what I wrote. I wrote Nido Niederreiter, Gengar. Gengar is a mischievous demon able to overwhelm you with its speed and skill combination. Gengar is equally capable of overpowering you or throwing you off your game with annoying status moves. It's notable that both Gengar and Nino have had their struggles with being banned. Mike Yo would frequently put Nino Niederreiter on lower lines than he deserved. With Mega Gengar perpetually being a threat to being banned from to the anything goes Uber tier of Smogon, and Nino Niederreiter often being banned from the Wild's top six. So that's what I wrote.
Well, I will say that to me, you may as well have been speaking Dutch, but I know a lot of people that listen to our podcast are avid Pokemon fans, so they probably got a tremendous kick out of that.
Well, not, I fully expect that a gentleman that we know and hold very dear to our heart at Ranger Rick is going to not only now follow you, but I'm guessing Ranger Rick is going to completely disagree with you, just so that way he can put on his Pokemon fez and have somebody to argue Pokemon with. Guys, we cannot say thank you to Tony enough. He is at Oh Hi Tony, that is OHHITONY, Oh Hi Tony, over on the Twitters, and he is part of the podcast and writing staff over at Hockey Wilderness. They are at Hockey Wilderness, missing the last S, unless, of course, you want the podcast, and then it's the Hockey Wilderness podcast with two S. It's all very confusing. Just go follow at Hi Tony. It's all over there on his profile, and Tony, we can't say thank you enough for joining us here tonight on the Cheaters Never Win podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me join, guys. Really appreciate it.
And we really appreciate Tony coming with us. That was fun.
Yeah, hell yeah. Good to talk to some new hockey friends from around the country.
Absolutely. And mentioning the name Tony, I know we chatted about this briefly with Shane, but I would be remiss if we didn't take a couple of seconds and invite everyone out to join us tonight before the game. The annual Hurricanes St. Baldrick event will be happening tonight. Our good friend Tony Price, you guys may remember him. He was one of the people we were trying to help when we did hashtag Caniacs Unite earlier this season. Tony still in chemotherapy, still battling an aggressive form of cancer, and fighting his tail off every day to do so. But mustering up his friends, family, strength, and a bunch of donations, he's leading the charge tonight as the Hurricanes are going to be shaving a whole bunch of heads and raising money to fight childhood cancer. And we are very honored to have been asked to MC that event tonight. So,
hey, how about it?
It come out about 4:30, 4:45. I think the head shaving starts right at 5. So from 5 to 6, you're going to see a bunch of fine people get sheared. And it's not only just to raise money. That's important. But also, it's very, you see the looks on the kids' faces who are battling cancer. And there will be some kids out there tomorrow night who are fighting against this dreaded disease, who look around and see a bunch of people who kind of look like them. And as someone who's done St. Baldrick's before, it's a a very personally impactful experience. So whether you have a couple extra dollars that you want to throw in to fight childhood cancer, or you just want to come out and, you know, rant and rave and scream a little bit and get your lungs ready for the game tomorrow night, come on out, come over by the box office. We'll be over there until at least 6:15 emceeing that great event. We'd love to see you and say hi.
I have nothing better to add. It's like you know what you're doing, particularly when it comes to helping raise money to tell cancer to go F itself.
I might have a passion or a problem. I probably have a little bit of both. You know what else I have, Derek?
What's that?
Cheat mail. Gotta go get that cheat mail.
Woo! That was a high note there, Mariah. Right,
thank you. I went for it. I don't know if it went as well as I wanted.
I don't know that it did.
It wasn't as good as Three's Company earlier, I will tell you that.
Well, again, you had the spirit of Joyce DeWitt powering you on.
I did. Derek, hit me with a cheat mail question.
All right. This one comes to us from Jay Swanson at @zombie_buffet. Appreciate the respect for the underscore. With no playoffs in sight, let's look forward. We asked this to Shane Willis earlier. Who do you expect to see, or who do you want to see on the team next year other than John Tavares?
I want to see Sebastian Aho. Well, I want to see Jacob Slavin, Jeff Skinner.
Someone new.
Oh, someone not currently on the roster. I would like, do we need to go just free agents or guys that we've just always wanted to see on this roster?
I don't see why we couldn't include a trade. We've got 11 draft picks this year and a hell of a lot of prospects. Let's go get somebody.
So I'll give you one and I'll let you fill the other one. So Shane said we needed two things. We needed a first line center,
mm-hmm,
and we needed a veteran leader who could put some points on the board, but also may be able to be a little bit of a menacing person out on the ice.
Okay.
You know who I want.
Who you want?
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Oh, Jesus.
Wayne Train. Oh. Go to Philadelphia. Get me number 17. Put Wayne Simmons in the sightless eye and make me happy.
Oh, that sounds so good. Because, like, we've talked about New Shaden for a while. We've talked about Wayne Simmons for about as long, but we just know that Philly ain't getting rid of him because it's the Wayne Train.
Like, he is the Wayne Train.
You don't trade Wayne Simmons. Damn it, Mike. That's a good answer. I don't know. I don't think I can beat that one.
But you have to come up with a first-line center now.
Oh, okay. I have to come up with a first-line center. Jesus. There's not a lot of teams getting rid of those, though. That's part of the problem, and I hate to keep bringing up old stuff. But go offer Sheet Dreisaitl.
Yeah. That is.
I really, really like that idea because he's 21 years old. He's only going to get better for the next few years, and we've got a first, second, and third to give up for him. Like, you mean to tell me that we're going to do better with a first, second, and third when we have this many picks than Dreisaitl? What you got for me, Mike?
This one is from @CanesNetFront, between the circles. At this point, would you rather continue to play well and barely miss the playoffs, or would you rather just tank?
I am almost never in favor of tanking.
That is the correct answer. Never, ever, 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 ever tank. It is cancerous to your locker room, and you do not want to teach young players how to lose. If you have players on your team who are accepting of losing and wish that to be what they want to do, just so that way the team could get better draft picks, particularly in a non-generational draft year, and
right,
even when you at your max only have a 20% chance of actually getting that first
right
pick.
Because, like, Buffalo a couple years ago, they finished DFL and did not get McDavid. So tanking is not the way to go. Because I feel like tanking is more on the players, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, Mike. That's not the way to approach it. I think if you're the GM and you can say, hey, I can put my team in a better position 1, 2, 3 years down the road by removing some of this older talent right now, sure, we won't win down the stretch. I don't consider that tanking. But that, I mean, that's a lot of semantics. So you play to win the game. Hello. So go out there and do the best you can, because I believe you can only drop a couple spots in the draft now.
Right. Exactly.
So, or no, the whole lottery's up for grabs this season, right?
It's something. Who knows?
Either way, like, gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit?
Yeah. This one coming in from @NHL Canes fans, our buddy Jonathan Wagner. Who is the most underrated, also, or maybe underappreciated Canes player among the fans? And then who's the most underappreciated player on a league-wide level?
So for the second question, do you still mean of Hurricanes players?
Of Hurricanes players, okay. Yes.
Underappreciated among the fans, probably Brett Pesce. Because so much attention goes to Jacob Slavin, rightfully so, locally. We pay him a lot of attention. We pay Justin Falk a lot of attention for being really, really good defensemen. We pay Noah Hanifin a lot of attention because he's number 5 overall pick from last season, and we want him to do great, so we got a lot of eyes on him. But Brett Pesce, whoever he's playing with, he is steady, he's good, he rarely gets caught out of position, he's rarely making mistakes. And again, this is only his second full season in the league, so I would say among Canes fans, it's probably Brett Pesce. And then league-wide, it's almost hard to say Jacob Slavin now because you saw, I forget who it was from NHL.com, did their most underrated or underappreciated around the league, and he put Jacob Slavin on it. So I feel like once you start to make national underrated lists, you are no longer underrated.
I would tend to agree with that. I think the guy who is getting most underrated on a league-wide level is absolutely Sebastian Aho. You know, you've got a guy who is currently 3rd in the rookie goal scoring race.
Is that good?
That is good, particularly in a year where you've got guys like Matthews and Laine who are just tearing it up. And then you've got, I've actually seen lists where they're talking about Calder candidates and they're putting 7, 8, 9 deep, and Sebastian Aho is not on there. Now, again, there are good guys who are there. You know, you've got Matthews, you've got Laine, then you've got some really good defensemen. You've got Provorov, you've got Werenski. People may forget Matt Murray is eligible for the Calder. Matt Murray, this is his rookie season. But Sebastian Aho deserves to be every bit a part of that discussion, and I don't know if he is. So I would say that from a league-wide perspective. From a Hurricanes perspective, and I this one's going to hit a little bit close to home, it might be Elias Lindholm.
Oh.
As a guy who has literally beaten that flat pack drum and, you know, poked Elias with a stick at times yelling, "Do stuff."
I wish you would literally poke him with a stick someday.
You know what? I'll go to practice one day and just poke him with a stick, and you can YouTube it. We should also start a YouTube channel of me poking players with sticks. I think that would be fun. That could be our gimmick. And but no, I think if you look at what he has done, particularly the assist machine he has become this year in the second half of the season, Elias Lindholm is finally coming into his own, and I need to appreciate him more. You're welcome, Canalytics.
Well, look at that. A little bit of growth. This is one that may be more for me than you at the moment, but this is from Virginia Caniac STM at Taylor 7010 Canes. Since beer is among one of your specialties, could we see your ratings on Untappd one day?
You could see Derek's ratings on Untappd.
You can.
Derek, well, let me, can you pull up Untappd real quick?
Have it up.
Okay. How many beers have you currently checked in on Untappd, Derek?
I have checked into unique beers, 1,212.
Is that good?
I think so. My liver may disagree.
What is, can you tell me, is there a way on Untappd you can tell me your 5 most highly rated beers?
A moment, please. Let me see if I can pull that up.
I can tell you what my most highly rated beer is. My favorite beer of all time. You've heard me profoundly discuss it on this podcast many a time. It is from our friends at Evil Twin Brewing. My favorite beer of all time is still Even More Jesus. It is dark. It is murky. It is oil-like.
Ooh.
And it is the most delightfully tasteful dark beverage I've ever had.
All right.
So, Derek, as I soft-shoed there, were I able to help
you? Yeah, you did kill a good amount of time for me. I was trying to see. Of those 1,200 beers, I've only given about 25 5-star reviews.
Okay, hit me with 3.
Hit you with 3. Thirsty Dogs Bourbon Barrel Aged Siberian Night.
Yes.
Bourbon Barrel Aged Imperial Stout. I think I've reviewed it on this podcast. It's just effing magic. Another one I reviewed on this podcast, Wicked Weed Black Angel Cherry Sour. Oh, God, it's good. this was a joke. I gave Miller High Life 5 stars. And then one beer that I thought I wasn't sure if I'd ever get to taste, Canadian Breakfast Stout.
Ooh.
It's Founders Kentucky Breakfast Stout, but it's not just aged in bourbon barrels. It's aged in bourbon barrels that were then used to age maple syrup.
Just hold me.
Yeah. Tasty got one keg of that January 3rd, 2015. And yeah, they kicked that keg in about half an hour.
It sounds delicious. Derek, last question over here from this mic. This question from Matt Peterson, P.E. I'm assuming the last part stands for physical education.
And what does the last fart stand for?
Oh, you don't want to know. Which number is most likely to be worn again by a Carolina Hurricane?
Okay.
3, 9, or 12?
9.
No, it's 12.
Because they're going to retire 12.
3 and 9 are retired.
9 is unofficially retired.
As is 3.
Right. 3 won't because, you know, how that one ended. 9 is, I think, the most likely of the three. I still don't think it's going to happen, but I think if one of the three is going to be worn again, it would probably be 9. Because somebody who's going to wear 12 is going to have to get that in the next, well, 4 or 5 years. There is a window where 12 could happen.
I don't think 12's worthy of retirement.
Oh, they're going to retire it here. Mike, you and I have him in our top 3 Hurricanes of all time.
So? Just means we need better Hurricanes.
Glenn Wesley's number's retired. He's below Eric Stahl in our rankings.
He is. I don't care.
So how does that make sense to you, Mike?
Does hockey make sense? John Tavares is still living in Long Island and having to play hockey in Brooklyn. And golfing is so much better in Raleigh.
So hold on, though. If Glenn Wesley is below Eric Stahl on our all-time rankings, and he has his jersey retired, you feel he deserves having his jersey retired here?
I do, because I think it's partly because of what Glenn Wesley did in the community.
Okay.
And Glenn Wesley's tie to the community, particularly what Glenn Wesley not only did but continues to do with our military brothers and sisters, whereas okay. Eric Stahl had problems leaving his house and didn't want to be bothered when he was, you know, having dinner at Nina's.
Okay.
So bitter.
Couldn't tell. Good. I don't have any more. You've got the cheat mail up. Read away, good sir.
Okay, how about this one? Last one from this mic for the second time. This one from our buddy Al Hood. Actually kind of excited about this one. Al's coming to the game on Saturday.
Oh, hell yeah, Al.
First game since 2013. Any hints on new things to try? He's also aware that it's a homegrown game, and he cannot wait.
Oh, yeah. We've worked on a Jaeger float. No, we haven't built a Jaeger float, and we absolutely should not make a Jaeger float.
Challenge accepted.
Oh, Jesus.
Guys, come out to the April 8th end-of-year tailgate. I'll have a Jaeger float.
You'll have it figured out by then?
I will.
Oh, God, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, homegrown series, really cool. New things to be aware of. There's plenty of new food and drink around the building that just are not necessarily part of the homegrown series, but well worth checking out.
Lots of new beer options inside the arena.
Lots of new beer options. Oliver Lindholm taught us a new chant, which is really simple and really fun.
We also have a new song that the guys at Oak City Supporters taught us. I believe it says, "Come on, Canes, let's score a goal. It's really freaking simple. Put the puck into the net, and we'll go freaking mental. Da 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 da." So you got that to look forward to, Al.
Yeah. The harmony improves as your alcohol level increases.
Or maybe you just hear us less.
Either way, it gets better.
Yeah, it improves for you, which is what we're really going for. Yeah. I think the only way to improve this podcast at this point, Derek, is to end it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You think it's gone that well?
Well, it's gone that long.
Okay.
Guys, we do appreciate everybody listening. We appreciate Tony. We appreciate Shane coming out and joining us tonight. We appreciate you, our loyal listeners, listening, subscribing, and rating to this podcast wherever you get your podcast. Hopefully you go over to section328.com and pick it up. This podcast being a part of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network. And if you're listening to us over on Sports Channel 8, A, thank you. B, tell Hayes he should keep us around next season too, because we like the Sports Channel 8 guys, and they do good work. If you're not checking out all of the great stuff Sports Channel 8 is doing as part of the NCAA tournament, we highly encourage you to head over to sportschannel8.com and check it out for basketball coverage. Stick it here for hockey coverage because, well, we're their hockey guys at this point.
Truth.
Snapchat, Instagram, places you could find pictures of things we like. Yep. Sometimes.
Yeah, every now and then.
Section328.com, that's the blog. Go over there, click on the Buy on Amazon button. Or if you really, 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 really like this podcast, go to patreon.com/section328. Go over there, see all of the cool rewards you can get for just taking a couple of pennies out of your life and donating them to us. So that way we can continue to bring you good quality audio, a halfway decent website, and continue to make our drive to get to Chicago in June. Derek, what did I miss?
I can't think of anything.
What do we screw up? Where's Tony Schiavone, the guy who... It's not Tony Schiavone.
Tony Reale.
Oh, yeah, where's Tony Reale?
Tony Schiavone, I believe, is calling games for the Gwinnett Braves.
Is he? Oh, good.
I think he still calls minor league baseball.
Excellent. We screwed up something. So if you know what we screwed up, please... make your way up the stairs. Make your way up the escalators. Come over to Section 328, row C. Come find the tall, lanky, weird-shaped guy.
Weird-shaped?
Yeah. Maybe that's what I screwed up. Or come find me. My name is Mike.
This is Derek.
We are out of here.
Yeah.